For our reading and meditation this afternoon, I'd like, with God's help, to read from the book of Acts, chapter number 8. The book of Acts, chapter number 8, I'd like to begin reading with verse 26 and read to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let us bow before him in prayer. In this portion of scripture that we've read, we see that the Lord had a specific task here for Philip to accomplish. There is a specific goal in mind that the Lord had for Philip, where he says in verse 26 that we read, he says, The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So the angel of the Lord tells Philip to go to a specific place. He doesn't tell him anything else. Nothing else is recorded. Just that the angel of the Lord told him to go to a certain place. And there was no hesitation on the part of Philip. We just read that he arose and went. And he went and he beheld. He saw a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a man of great authority, a man who was, we read, was given the charge, was given, it was given into his hands to care for the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This is an important man, a man that had much under him. And it says that this man had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning back to, we can presume, back to Ethiopia. And this man was reading, this eunuch was reading in his chariot. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He's reading from what we know to be, in this day and age, the Old Testament. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, and now the Spirit tells Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So again, God, through his angel, through the Spirit, is directing Philip here to accomplish this task. He says, Go and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, again, with no hesitation, he just runs. He runs and he's listening to what this man, this eunuch, is reading. And he hears this man reading, again, from the prophet Isaiah. And he asks, Philip asks this eunuch, Do you understand what you're reading? You're reading from the prophet Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch responds and says, How can I? How can I possibly understand what I'm reading? This is confusing to him. How can I possibly understand unless some man should guide me, unless someone would explain to me what the meaning of these verses are? How can I understand them? And we read that the chapter that he was reading, we know today to be Isaiah chapter 53, a very well-known chapter to us. We're speaking of Jesus Christ and how he was to be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he was a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. This, of course, prophesying of the coming of Jesus and his laying down his life for us, and how he laid it down willingly. There was no resistance on the part of Jesus. So that's what this eunuch is reading, and he doesn't understand. And the eunuch asks Philip, he says, "I pray thee, please tell me, of whom speaketh the prophet this?" Is he talking about himself? This prophet Isaiah, who is he speaking of here? Is he speaking about himself, or is he writing about some other man? And Philip, we read, he opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what Philip taught him. Philip taught him about Jesus, who Jesus was, what Jesus came to do, what his offering meant to all mankind. These are the kind of things we can assume that Philip taught to this eunuch. And we don't know how long Philip was with this eunuch. It's not recorded here how long he was with him. If he was in Gaza and he was going back to Ethiopia, it was a long journey here. It's a long journey for him to go back to Ethiopia. But we don't know how long Philip was with him. He was with him a certain time, and it says they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" The eunuch saw water, and he said, "What is holding me back? What is hindering me from being baptized?" And as I was reading this chapter this week, I was really struck at the simpleness of the response that Philip gave. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." And the eunuch answers and says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So again, exactly what Philip told to this eunuch was not recorded. The exact words that he told him, we don't know. But we know, consistent with Scripture, what he would teach him about Jesus. Again, who he was and what he came to do. These are the kind of things that we can presume that Philip spoke to this eunuch. That he would understand what Isaiah was writing about, who Isaiah was writing about. And the message here is very simple. Philip just says, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then that's all you need to do. Belief. A full submission, surrender, and belief. That's all you need. And the way of salvation truly is very simple. There isn't much that we need to understand. It's a very simple truth. We know, again, we can read in Isaiah of speaking about the way of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, it's a well-known verse, I believe, for us. It says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." So there's going to be a highway. It's prophesying here of a highway called the way of holiness. There's a way of holiness. The unclean will not pass over that way of holiness, but it's going to be for the wayfaring men, though fools, they should not err therein. There's going to be no excuse for us to say that we don't understand the way to salvation. It's a simple plan. The plan of salvation is simple. Fools will not fail. We don't need some incredible level of understanding. We just need to believe and to surrender our will unto the Lord. So it's simple. What Philip told the eunuch is true. It's a simple way. Just believe with all your heart. And so that has been the from reading this chapter this week, that's been the thought on my mind, is just the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of who he is, the simplicity of his message. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's not supposed to be complicated. God doesn't want his plan of salvation to be so hard to decipher and figure out that no one can possibly be saved. Quite the opposite. God wants it to be so simple to understand what he's expecting of us that no one can give an excuse that they don't know what to do. It's simple. And the Apostle Paul even wrote to the Corinthians. not finding it at the moment. But the Apostle Paul writes the Corinthians, and he tells them that the way of Christ is simple. And he says, he's warning them. He says, I don't want you to be, I'm going to try to remember what it says without misquoting. He says, the way of Christ is simple, and I don't want you to become beguiled as Satan beguiled Eve. He said, I don't want you to be beguiled and to be drawn away from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's not in the chapter I was thinking of. But the Apostle Paul even wrote that to the Corinthians. The way of Christ is simple. What was complicated about the task that was given, or the instruction that was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? What was complicated? Nothing. God told them, you can eat of the entire Garden of Eden, you can eat of any tree. But there's one tree that you can't eat of. There's one tree that was forbidden. What is so hard to understand about that? This is a story that we teach to our children from the time they're very young. We teach them the story of Adam and Eve. We teach them the story of obedience and the warning against disobedience. This is a very simple story. And of course, Adam and Eve being humans, as we all are, they did not listen to the simple instruction. The fruit of that one tree was so appetizing that they just had to take of it. And let's not think that let's not think we would be better. We would have done the same thing. We've all proven that we would have made that same decision by the way that we've lived our lives. We've all sinned. We've all disobeyed God. So none of us can blame our sin on Adam and Eve or on anybody else. We have all chosen to disobey God. But the instructions are simple. What was there that was not able to be understood by Adam and Eve? Nothing. Just don't eat of this tree. And we know the story. That's the tree that they took from. It was so tantalizing, they just had to take it. But it was simple instructions that the Lord gave to them. We read, it was referenced this morning, Brother Robert mentioned, of Moses when he was instructed to build the tabernacle. He was given very clear instruction. God told him to build the tabernacle after the pattern that was shown him. Very specific instructions are given to Moses. As long as Moses followed those instructions, there would be no failure. There would be no opportunity to fail because he would just simply follow the simple instructions he got from the Lord directly. There's no need to invent, no need to innovate. You just follow the instructions that are there. Similar to Noah when he built the ark. Was there any opportunity for Noah to fail there? No. God showed him how he was to build the ark, and all he had to do was obey and follow through. Very simple. That's God's way. He doesn't want us to be confused about anything. We know that the Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion. If there's anything that we're confused about, if there's anything that we get discouraged at, we don't understand, and we can't wrap our minds around something, that's not the way of God. God's ways are simple. God's ways are pure and holy and just altogether. It's a simple plan of salvation. There's nothing complicated about it. That's what God wants. That's what he sees fit. That's how he decides to save us, through simple means. And Jesus even prayed. Jesus had a prayer where he prayed to the Father and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things, this way of salvation. He said, I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and instead thou hast revealed them unto babes. Jesus is thanking the Father that the way of salvation is not able to be understood by those who are wise and smart in this world. Those people are the ones that get confused by things. But the ones that have a simple mind with just the desire to obey, those are the ones that understand God's calling. There's nothing complicated about it. It's a simple truth, just as Philip here told this eunuch. So if there's ever a time that we're confused, let's recognize that that's not from God. Any time that we're confused about something is not from the Lord. God wants us, his word to be clear to us. And there might be times where we need someone to explain something to us. As this eunuch here, he had a good desire, and yet he still couldn't quite wrap his mind around what he was reading in Isaiah. Jesus was not yet explained to him. And once it was explained to him, he believed. He had a simple belief, he had a simple faith, and that was enough for him to get baptized, to get saved. The message is simple. Jesus himself even says that the message is very simple. And after he had arisen from the dead, Mark's gospel gives the account of the Great Commission where Jesus is speaking to the 11 disciples. He says, go ye into all the world, Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What is so hard to understand about this? If you believe and you're baptized, you shall be saved. If you believe not, you're going to be damned. You're going to be condemned. Simple. And yet, we can get so deceived by the devil to think that this is complicated. We can get our minds so twisted and so perverted and so lost because we're allowing the devil to confuse us. God doesn't want to confuse us. Jesus just says, believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. Simple. Belief first. Being baptized without belief does us no good. Being submersed into water and arising from that water won't do you any good if you don't believe. But if you believe with all your heart and you're baptized, you will be saved. It's simple. It's a simple truth. But the devil will do anything he can to draw us away from these simple truths. He'll get us to worry. He'll get us to doubt. He'll get us to have fears that all they do is just draw us away from the simplicity that's in Christ. The devil will have us come up with these worries and have us think, what will happen if I'm baptized? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not faithful? What if I can't remain faithful? And we have these worries, these doubts, and they draw us away from Christ. But just as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul was sure that this God who had saved him was also able to keep him faithful. It's a temptation of the devil. It's a way of deceit from the devil that we would worry and think, what if I'm not good enough? And then what do we do? We just get stuck then. We get stuck in unbelief, and there's no way forward because we've allowed the devil to have his way with us. We've allowed him to deceive us. We're stuck in a way that God does not want us to be stuck in. It was mentioned in a sermon recently, I don't remember exactly how long ago, the brother mentioned that when he thinks back to how, to his belief or his understanding when he was baptized, he says he can look back and think, did I really understand what I was doing? Did I really understand what I was committing to when I was baptized all those years ago? And that's a thought I've had as well. Even in my younger journey, my shorter time with the Lord, I can look back at even the day I was baptized and I can think, did I really know what I was doing? But yes, we did. We understood what we were doing. We understood what we were committing to. But we're growing the faith as the years go by. If God gives us life and we abide in him and when we're faithful to him, we listen to his voice, God leads us, he directs us. He helps us to grow in him so that our understanding grows. And we become more Christ-like as the years go on. That's how our life should be. But that doesn't mean that our belief was non-existent at our baptism. No, we understood enough of the way of salvation to be saved. We understood enough that the way to God is a way of submission. The way to hell, eternal damnation, is a way of serving self. We understood that enough. That's all that was required for us to be saved. It's simple. Yes, God makes us to grow throughout the years, but the way of salvation, again, is very simple. Let's not allow the devil to deceive us and to trick us and to think this is some incredibly complicated thing that we have to spend years studying to understand. No. It's just submission. It's take my will and make it thine as we sing in the hymn. That's all it is. That's the plan of salvation. It's simple. And we can get stuck. Again, we can get stuck where we allow the devil to deceive us. We're allowing him to have his way with us. And we get stuck in unbelief, and then we really don't progress anymore. We worry about things that really probably are never going to happen. We worry and we say, what if I can't remain faithful? So then we don't commit. We don't commit to the Lord because we're worried about what's going to happen with us later. But we know if we don't commit, we're already damned. We're already condemned. So why not give the Lord a try? Why not try him and see that he is good and have him show us that he is able to keep us faithful? Why not try the Lord? Why not trust him with all of our hearts? We know what will happen if we don't commit. If we don't commit, if we don't believe, if we're not baptized, we know we'll be damned. So why would we go down that path? Why would we instead not simply submit to the Lord and say, I know I'm weak. I know I can't do very much without you at all, but I'm trusting in you. Why wouldn't we choose that? Jesus told the children of Israel, God told the children of Israel, I have set before you this day life and death. He told them to choose which way they would want to go. He said, why wilt thou die, O house of Israel? Why would you choose death over life? I'm giving you two options, two clearly understood options, life and death. Why would you choose the way of death? And that, yet, is what we do when we allow the devil to deceive us. The devil deceives us all in different ways. He knows where we're weak. He can pinpoint exactly where we're the weakest, and he knows exactly how to attack us. And our weakest points are all individual to us. We know that to be true. The way I am tempted is not the way maybe you are tempted, and vice versa. But he'll know exactly what to do with us, to have his way with us, to sift us as wheat if we allow him. But we can't allow him. We have to tell him, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan. I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus is faithful. I know that I have been saved by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm believing in that. I don't need anything else. That's what our answer has to be to the devil when he's coming to us with these doubts and these fears to hold us back. When we're allowing him to twist our minds, we're just submitting to his way, and we know that that way leads to condemnation. So Jesus is calling us in this day to action. He's calling us to make a decision. Jesus says, he who is not for me is against me. You know, we can often say, well, we can think in our minds, well, I'm not against Jesus. I'm certainly not against him. I'm not working against him. I'm not working against his kingdom, so I must not be that bad. That thought comes from the devil. Because Jesus says, if you're not with me, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not with me in the faith, walking day by day with faith, you're against me. We can try to be neutral. We can try to have some kind of neutrality where we're not with Jesus maybe fully, but we're not also with the world, and we can comfort ourselves in that. But that's, again, we have to recognize what that is. It's a deceit from the devil. It's deceitfulness where, I know we've heard the analogy of we can be in the sheepfold or we can be in the world, and yet we choose to ride the fence. And who does the fence belong to? The fence belongs to the devil. There is no in-between. There's no neutrality in Christ. It's all or nothing. It's obedience and submission, or you're not with him. Again, a simple, clear-cut decision is presented before us, one way or the other. It's simple. It's clear. We know the story, I believe, very well of Elijah when he was on the mountaintop, and there were the servants of Baal with Elijah on the top of the mountain, and I can't remember. I think the number was 400 off the top of my mind. I might be remembering that wrong. There are 400 servants or so of Baal, this false god, and Elijah alone was defending the name of the Lord and saying, "The Lord, he is God, not this Baal that you've made, not this image that you've made out of man's devices. This isn't God." Elijah was by himself defending the name of the Lord, and we know the story how fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice, and the servants of Baal were crying out, cutting themselves, and nothing ever came from Baal because he's not real. And Elijah said, "How long will you halt yourselves between two opinions? How long are you gonna be undecisive? Make a decision. Who is God? If the Lord is God, serve him. Make a decision today." And we know the verse very well from Joshua. I believe many of us have that on our walls at home, where we read, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The decision is simple. Choose. God gives us a choice. Choose whom you will serve this day. Do we trust in him and go down that path of belief and submission, or do we allow the devil to wrap up our minds and deceive us and then we're condemned because we've not believed in the only begotten Son of God? And we can say, "Well, I believe in him." We can say, "I believe in him, otherwise I wouldn't be here." But belief, a saving faith, is a belief that transforms our lives, where we give it all to the Lord, where we yield ourselves completely to him. That's what a saving faith is. That's what belief here means. So when Philip says to this eunuch, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized," what's Philip referring to? He's meaning a saving faith, a true trust and confidence in his Lord. If this eunuch had that, then he could be baptized and he would be saved. And the eunuch did have that faith and he was baptized. He believed that simple truth in the Lord. We read in the Zion's Harp, hymn 169, "Most surely it is not so hard to God one's life to give. Just yield your all to Christ the Lord, and to him only live. Then one is neither slave nor lord, but just a happy child, more blessed as one learns to regard the more a Lord so mild." And the rest of the verses are also beautiful, just speaking of the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity where no one can use the excuse, "I don't understand what to do." And that doesn't mean now that every verse that we read, we're going to understand perfectly the first time. Of course not. There are verses that we maybe don't have a perfect understanding in, but we speak to each other. We help each other. We share the knowledge that we might have in another portion of Scripture that someone else doesn't have, and we can put those together. We can put together understanding and help each other. That's why the Lord is so pleased when we gather together in His name and look into His Word together, that we would help each other to grow in our faith. But the way of salvation is simple. It's a clear-cut decision. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Do you want to go down that path of unbelief and not trusting the Lord and worrying about every little thing? Or do you want to just submit to the Lord and be a happy child? Be a happy child trusting the Lord, not in yourself. The devil will deceive us and say, you're not good enough. Look at the things you're doing. You're not good enough to be saved. And we get stuck. And that path leads again to nothing good, nothing but condemnation. So the Lord is calling us this day to a simple belief, a simple childlike faith. That will never fail us. The tools that we learn to use in our spiritual walk of life when we're babes in Christ, when we're just beginning our journey, the tools that we use that we learn to use, prayer and reading and submission, those will carry us through our whole life, as long as God gives us life in this earth. The same tools that give us spiritual success when we're young in Christ are the same tools that we always need. There'll never be a time where we don't need prayer. Does that sound simple? It should be simple. It should be simple. It is simple. Pray to the Lord and reveal unto Him the inmost thoughts of your heart. And say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm weak. Help me to overcome this. The devil might deceive us and say, there's a sin in your life that you don't hate. But you can't be baptized. You don't hate this. And we can get stuck and think, what do I have to do here? And we can get stuck and caught up in that. But what's the solution? We just pray to the Lord and say, reveal unto me thy will and help me to hate this sin, to remove this sin from my life. These thoughts that I have that are evil, remove them from me. And we'll see what great things the Lord can do. A convert recently said, he prayed once in really a moment of half-hearted faith, where he prayed for the Lord to give him victory over temptation. He didn't truly believe that the Lord would give him strength. And when the Lord did give him strength, he was amazed. And then the more he prayed, the more fervently he prayed, the more God revealed unto him his will, the more he revealed unto him his sin, and the more God gave him strength to overcome. If we just try the Lord, if we just try to see what he can do, he's going to do great things in our lives. He's going to transform us. This is a miracle. This is possible only with God. And it's simple. All it takes is submission. So whatever problem it is that we're facing in life, whatever moment of discouragement or trial that we're facing, the Lord has the answer to all those things. And I believe that the answer is always the same. It's just to trust and submit. That will always be the solution. That will always be the answer to any problem that we're having. Submit fully to the Lord. Have Him lead us. That will never fail us. We'll never be let down as long as that's in the forefront of our minds. Submitting to the Lord. Not living for self. So let's be encouraged in this day that the way of salvation is simple. That's how the Lord would want it. The Lord wants as many as possible to be saved. We know that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. As evil as some men are, spending their whole lives working against the Lord, blaspheming His name, God takes no pleasure when that man dies. That's how great God's love is for His creation. He doesn't want us to die. He gives us life. He gives us life freely, abundantly, and He just says, call upon me, try me, see what I can do for you, and submit, and then our ways will be blessed. And God bless, add His blessings to His word this afternoon. Amen.
In the Acts of the Apostles, preached Jesus Christ. He brought forth the message of the gospel. He brought forth the good news that was come upon the earth, and he preached unto them Jesus Christ. And immediately this eunuch was baptized. Then we go to the next chapter and we see Saul, likewise, who was once kicking against the pricks, found Jesus and the marvelous light of Jesus. And Ananias comes to him and says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it has been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Just as a eunuch, the Apostle Paul, when he first heard that word, he was baptized. He came to that saving faith because there was a message that went forth. And that message throughout the Acts of the Apostles and throughout the Gospels was that message of truth of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he was with the elders of Ephesus and he was going to see them no more, he's giving them, so to speak, his last words that they would pay attention. And one of the things that he said to them, he says, I have showed you and taught you publicly, meaning in an open form, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. A repentance towards God. A simple message. A message that anyone can receive, whether it was the elders of Ephesus or the eunuch or Cornelius as the first Gentile. They all came to this, heard that message. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then we read in Hebrews likewise in chapter 11. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, coming to that saving faith, that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come to faith. Come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come to believe that he came to redeem us from our iniquities. Come to believe that there is forgiveness of our sins. Come to believe that he loves us. Come to believe that he keeps us. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, he keeps us. We are in the palm of his hand, and there is no one that can remove us from the palm of his hand. Come to this saving faith and be saved. Amen.